Now, thanks for joining me at this time of the day. Normally it's Jonky, but today it's Bill English from the National Party. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Mike.
How are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
And how's the National Party this week?
Oh, it's in pretty good order this week, as it has been for the last few weeks. And I think I should say, in John's absence, that he is doing a fantastic job. He's great to work with, and we're moving ahead.
You were you superseded my you guessed what I was about to ask you next, because I haven't spoken to you since you were running for the when you looked like you might do all right there in the election, and when we had our little 20 questions on the TV show such a while ago. Since then, of course, you've got tromped over, but you've come back in support of Mr. Key.
I have.
And in what seemed like a nasty leadership of the National Party.
Well, no, it wasn't nasty. I mean, when there was a leadership change from Don, and at the time we had some pretty intensive discussions about what was going to work for National, and the result of that was that without a contest, John stepped up to be the leader and I came in as deputy, and it's a great balance, but it's working well, I think, better than he or I thought, and certainly better than the MPs thought it would, and it's great for National. I mean, he has such a good public presence and such a quick grasp of the issues that he's a pleasure to work with.
I'm not going to dwell on it, but I do want to ask you one thing. In Nicky Hager's book, The Hollow Men, there's the chapter that I think stood out for me the most, although just the small paragraphs, talked about when John Key, when Don Brash was looking like he was going to, you know, he was going to knock you out of the leader's seat there in the National Party. It looked like, you know, it was sort of half and half. And Jonky went around, Nicky writes, the Jonky went around to your house the night before and sort of had a chat with you and basically said, look, I'll support you. You know, if I vote for you tomorrow to continue being the leader of the National Party, you know, what's it worth to me, sort of thing. And you guys had a discussion, and then he assured you he would vote for you the next day. And then he didn't. He voted for Brash after he had assured you that he was going to vote for you. And I thought, that's crappy.
Well, in the first place, Mr. Hager was wrong. I met him at...
That didn't happen?
I met him at John's place, which is 600 miles away from where my place is. And secondly, Nicky Hager wasn't there, and what he said's wrong.
So you didn't leave each other that night under the impression that he was going to support you the next day?
No.
No? Oh, okay. I found that very interesting. So, well, you've cleared that up for me anyway. You've been called hysterical today, though, by the Labour Party.
Is that a compliment?
Well, I don't know. You know, this is Bill English. Not someone the word hysterical comes trotting along with, usually.
No, that's
it's
right.
About the confidential election financing proposals.
Yeah, well, look, Labor put up some proposals and to change the financing regime. And that happens most elections. There's some changes about how you raise money and who's allowed to spend it on an election. And it keeps changing because people find loopholes, things you never thought of start happening. And usually there's a bunch of MPs on a select committee representing all the parties who come up with a change in the rules. And that's how it's worked for quite a while. This time, Labor have written a whole set of rules, which are, and some of them are fundamentally anti-democratic, some of them are changes we would support, but they've done it in a way to write the rules to suit them because they're in financial trouble. And we think that's wrong. So we are working with the small parties to try and get agreement across the parties that will fix some of the issues that arose in the last election because it was quite a big public issue. And make sure that the rules are going to be seen to be fair and that they're workable for all the parties.
It's the amount of money that Labor spent during the election is definitely cause of concern. But won't these laws, won't the introduction of these the new proposals make things like the exclusive rhythm issue? Less of a chance of that happening again.
That's right. Look, no one likes what the Exclusive Brethren did, and I have to say it didn't do us any good at all.
Well, yeah, but they didn't just do it. But you could have sent the cheque back.
They never gave us any money. I mean, they ran a campaign. They ran a campaign against the Greens, which was nothing to do with us. The principle here is should people.
But isn't it true though that National turned a blind eye?
Well, we don't write the rules. The fact is, anyone in New Zealand can mount a campaign, during election year or any time they like, actually, to try and persuade the public. And often they do. You know, unions run campaigns about pay claims and strikes. Well, that's all fair enough. That's democratic. And it's actually very hard to stop it. What Labor have done is write a set of rules which effectively allow unions to run campaigns. Now, we're not against them running campaigns, even though they usually attack us, but stop just about anyone else. And the other thing they've done is write a rule that says any political campaign during election year from the 1st of January is controlled. At the moment, that rule only applies for 3 months. So effectively means through right through election year, 9-10 months of the year, the government can run its own advertising campaigns for its own budget announcements, working for families and free childcare and so on, but no one else can run a political campaign against them, and that's just fundamental.
But if you guys were the government, then that would be beneficial for you, wouldn't it? Isn't that beneficial for the government of the day?
I'm very surprised to hear you saying this, Mike.
Why?
Well, any government needs to be open to criticism. I've been in one, and I can tell you, if you weren't able to criticise governments, they'd go right off the rails.
But this isn't stopping criticism, is it? I'm under the impression it sort of makes everything a bit... It's obvious that Labor are trying to make up for the mistake with the election spending previously, but isn't this making it transparent so that no one can get blamed for it again?
No, it doesn't. There's some changes we support because they'll move in the right direction, like the use of anonymous trusts. The trusts have had a different regime than companies or unions or lobby groups, and we support changes that bring the trusts in line, and that will have an effect on National, because last time anonymous trusts were used to fund National's campaign. That will change, and we support that change. But otherwise, most of the other rules are written to favour Labor and get them out of their financial hole. And the point is, if they'd gone through the process we've always gone through, which is to get broad political support for these changes, then we wouldn't be having this argument. Because just some of the things they put up, we can support.
Which ones do you support?
Oh, well, the one about anonymous trusts that I've just made
clear.
They're also hinting, but they haven't been that clear, about having bigger sanctions for political parties if they break the rules. In the last election... most parties broke the rules to some extent. Labor broke the rules to bits, and there was really no sanctions. The police decided it was too complicated and too politically significant for them to prosecute anybody, so they didn't do it. Well, that's no good. Political parties, like anyone else, need to see there'll be consequences if they break the rules, and we support that change.
And you don't just think it's Labor trying to right a wrong?
No, I don't. I think it's Labor trying to fix the problem in their bank account, which is, you know, $800,000 hole because they have to repay.
It's a hell of a scar on their reputation, that, though, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it is.
A blot on the copybook.
Yeah, a blot on the copybook. And actually, Helen Clark just got it wrong. She thought the public wouldn't care about it, thought she'd get away with it. And increasingly, she's getting those judgments wrong.
The anti-smacking issue, we've gone over it a million trillion times on the radio, but it's polarised the country like almost as much as that stadium. But in particular, I heard you on the radio in the parliamentary chamber there, in the debating chamber, and you were going off. I heard something about pumping blood and tension, and I thought, Jesus, Bill English.
Yeah. Well, look, I was sitting in the parliament listening to the debate, and two things got right up my nose. Was that
the most animated you've ever been in parliament?
Oh, well, I often get animated if you ask people.
You were hollering.
Yeah, well, sometimes in the past, I hollered in parliament, but I do less of it now. But, you know, there's issues you feel passionate about, and in parliament there's drama and theatre, and you should take the opportunity. But look, there was a couple of things that are irritating me. One was MPs supporting the bill saying that the way to fix serious child abuse was to change parents' attitudes, including the attitudes of people in the house. Well, actually, most parents bring up their children with quite reasonable parental behaviour. They're not the source of child abuse, and trying to fix serious violence to our children and child murders by telling good, straightforward, normal parents that they're the problem is just wrong. And the other reason is...
Because that's assuming that we're aware of exactly who are the good, straight and normal parents and who aren't.
Yeah, well, I don't like being mentioned as a parent in the same breath as these terrible abuse cases and murder cases that we've seen. and I think anyone would find anyone would find it objectionable. The second thing was this idea that it's all about symbolism. Well, actually, your relationship with your children is not a symbolic relationship. It's a real one. It's about some of the things you just mentioned, actually. There's no closer relationship than a parent to their child, and that shouldn't be manipulated for symbolic purposes. It's got to be treated seriously.
But I guess that's for people who... The people who understand, you know, that. people who understand that there's no close relationship. Some people don't understand that their relationship with their children is what a hassle.
Yeah. Look, with
you know, and for the and that's what the people who do have a good relationship, I think, need. My opinion, Bill, is that a lot of talk about parents from the people that are opposed to the repeal, and a lot more talk about kids from the people who support it.
Now that's a cheap shot.
Well, it seems that's how it's not a cheap shot. That's how I perceive it.
Yeah.
Okay. In your answer to me then, you mentioned a whole bunch of stuff. You mentioned children once.
Well, I talked about the relationship between parent and children, how there's no closer relationship, and I think that's a fair enough.
I don't mean anything. I'm just saying that's my perception of it is that there seems to be parents protecting their rights issue as well.
Well,
you know.
Because the key legal issue is the protection of parents against being criminalised. Look, there's a way through this. I've listened to the things that Helen Clark has said about what she wants to achieve, what Sue Bradford has said, what Phil Goff has said, what Barnardo's and Plunkett have said, and they all say they don't want to criminalise parents. And I think there should be a way through. Parliament should be able to capture what the objectives everyone shares, which is more protection for kids. Agree with that. Want to lower the threshold, lower the bar. On the one hand, and secondly, to make sure that there isn't a witch hunt on parents who lightly smack their kids. Now, everyone has said that's what they want to achieve, and I would hope over the next 6 weeks there can be a bit of give and take, and we get a result that most MPs can sign up to.
You're a man that can, I'm sure, that has great foresight and can imagine a future in New Zealand. Surely you must be able to imagine a New Zealand where we don't smack our kids. Is that just unimaginable? Does that seem like chaos?
Oh, no, it doesn't seem like chaos. And it's not unimaginable.
It's quite a cool thing, I think.
Many of the people involved in this debate don't smack their kids or didn't or haven't.
Most of them don't.
That's right.
Yeah. But there's some that do, and the rest of New Zealanders have let it go for so long that that's why this has happened.
Well, what they've let go that really matters is serious violence against kids, and if Labor,
you and I are both of the same thinking though, but we don't want serious violence against kids, but we have let it happen to a point, you know, only to a point. But
no, look, I accept for instance, if the neighbour hears some ranting and raving going on across the fence, and then hears a kid getting a damn good whack, in my view, they should be reporting that. You know, I think that is unacceptable. I can't stand seeing that. And I don't think I think most New Zealanders can.
They could call reasonable force.
Well, no, but actually only a few cases have ever got through on reasonable force. It should be reported and should be investigated if kids are getting beaten up.
I'm sort of hoping that there's a National Party alternative, though. You know, because at the moment the alternative is we just don't know anything about it.
No, we put up an amendment, the Burrows Amendment, which was attempted to do the things that I've talked about and that others have talked about, and that's more protection for kids and protecting parents against silly prosecutions. Now, the House has voted against that. I reckon we should have another crack because Labor had locked themselves into opposition to that amendment before they really understood it and before Helen Clark made her statements where she said that it's not an anti-smacking bill and it's not designed to make normal parents into criminals. So, look, everyone's got the same objectives here. It should be in Parliament's capacity to solve the problem, and that's what we're going to try and do.